The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 2, Scene 18. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
And I'm Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
We're all three going to talk about A Kid Like Jake, which is playing at Triangle Players through May 13th. A couple's effort to get their four-year-old son into a good kindergarten becomes a challenge as a result of his gender nonconforming expression. Rich, Claire, who wants to jump in first on this one?
I really did not like this one. I didn't like the script. I didn't like the production. I thought the acting was very, in quotation marks, acting. You know, it's funny because at one point, the mother in it, you know, she's trying to get her kid into the elite preschool or elementary school. And so she feels that she's just, you know, using her child's differences to kind of get ahead. And that doesn't feel right. I felt that way about the play. I thought that it markets itself as this play that's about this gender nonconforming child, but it's not really about that. You know,
right. And
at the end, good theater, good drama illuminates something about the human condition. I don't know what we're supposed to walk away from the show with.
No. I felt like it was almost like a pamphlet on here are the checklist points on children who are gender nonconforming and how you can deal with it or not deal with it.
It was incredibly didactic. There were scenes where I really felt like these characters are trying to teach me something that I already know.
It's more of a discussion than a drama,
yeah.
I think. And we all agree pretty much on that the script is not very strong. Performances, Claire, what did you think about?
I did not enjoy these performances. I thought that for the most part they were really stiff, particularly Nancy Calloway, who played Judy. If I was ever in the moment, she was the character who maybe pulled me out of it.
She was very forced and awkward and did not feel comfortable in that role. Kelsey Cordry, who I didn't mention in my review, had a very semi-insignificant part, but she was very natural and is probably the closest to being comfortable up there.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
The set, I guess they were trying to play with some sort of preschool setting.
With the shapes and the primary colors.
It didn't really work for me. The lighting seemed to do the best it could with that set. The sound design by Lucian Restivo, I actually thought was interesting. During scenes where they were meeting with the administrator, you could hear kids playing
children
in the background.
Oh my God, I totally disagree. I thought that was so distracting.
Well, that's interesting because I thought you couldn't hear it. Because I even actually, at intermission, I asked Lucian, I said, I'm sorry, after the show was over, there was no intermission. I asked Lucian, was that supposed to be sound design underneath? Because I thought maybe there was a radio in the back of the theater that had gotten left on. He said, no, it was supposed to be there. So you were distracted. I was distracted because you couldn't really hear it.
I mean, maybe that's why I was distracted as well. I knew what it was supposed to be. I just felt that it was an unnecessary thing for such a conversational play. I wanted us to focus on that.
That's a good point. I think it may have been distracting ultimately as opposed to providing the atmosphere that was necessary. We didn't really talk much about Heather Fox and Fred Iacova, who are the parents in the play.
They were both really stiff.
They didn't bring much emotional resonance to it. You didn't really care about them.
Especially for the lead character, right? It's great that we're seeing more female leads that are carrying dramas. But what are you supposed to like about this person?
Even
if you have an anti-hero, there's normally they've got some edge, they've got some humor, they've got something you can at least hang on. This character, both as written and performed, there's nothing to like about it.
Really, the only real moments of any kind of real emotion were those two, the big fight in the office, which was dreadful, and then the scene after that at home, which was at least a little more dramatic interaction between the two of them. But you had to wait almost an hour just for those moments.
I don't think that what built up to those moments made those moments matter.
Good point. We've been talking about A Kid Like Jake, which is playing at Richmond Triangle Players through May 13th. Rich and I are going to talk about Disney's Beauty and the Beast. Yes, the Disney is in the title. It's playing at Virginia Reps November Theater through May 14th. Considering that the movie that's currently out is a monster hit, and that is the live-action movie of the animated movie, and we saw the live-action stage show, which was wonderful, don't you think, Rich?
Oh, I thought it was great. And, you know, you looked around at the end, you know, it's a good two and a half hours, but the kids seemed to love it.
Chauncey Trask, who is new to Richmond, I thought she was a perfect Belle. Very often, those Disney princess characters are just pretty and have a nice voice, but she had the spunk, really charming every moment she was on stage.
I completely agree. Timothy Fitzgerald as Lumiere, I thought was excellent. In the scenes that he showed up, and he just was so funny, and he and Cogsworth worked well off each other.
That's Happy Mahaney. Yeah, I thought they were an outstanding duo. I thought also Landon Nagel and Caleb Wade as Gaston and LeFou were also a delightful combination.
I thought Landon Nagel totally hit the right presence as Gaston. He's not really a singer.
Right, right.
But it's kind of okay.
Robin Arthur, who directed this 10 years ago when they did it, directed it again. I thought she filled it with delightful touches. There were lots of little physical gags and character moments that made it more fun, not just for the kids, but for the adults. And I think for young people who have not seen a big theatrical show, they're going to be blown away because the sets move and things fly in and out, and there's some other surprises that will make it really enchanting for kids. But I think grown-ups can relate to the humor and the warmth.
I completely agree. I thought Be Our Guest is the show-stopping number it needs to be. Songs like the theme, you know, the Beauty and the Beast song, were surprisingly touching.
And
people were wiping their eyes.
And Georgia Rogers Farmer did a beautiful job of singing that number, too.
I'd agree. I do wish they'd had a live orchestra instead of a canned one, but you can't have everything.
And speaking of that, I felt sometimes the orchestra was a little too loud. I had a hard time understanding even some of the dialogue, what was being said, because it was a little overmixed. They may have pulled that down now that we've been complaining.
So the set and the costumes are from the production 10 years ago, and they don't have the same sparkle that some of their more modern productions do, right. But it was still totally fine.
And the costumes, a lot of which were fun because they were a candlestick or a clock, were designed and created by Terry Snyder, who was the beloved puppeteer and very talented man in town. Unfortunately, he died in 2015, but it was very fitting that there was a tribute to him in the program.
This is a delightful production of a long favorite musical. If you saw it as you were a kid, or if you've got kids yourself and you want to take them, we'd recommend go seeing it.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, the evening curtain is at 7 p.m. instead of the traditional 8 o'clock to allow for those early bedtimes, so be sure to factor that into your plans. We've been talking about Disney's Beauty and the Beast, which is a Virginia Rep production at the November Theater through May 14th. And that'll do it for this week's Curtain Call. We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRIR. So this is Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
This is Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.